This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. One of the coolest, most memorable stories in the Old Testament is about the life of Gideon. Now, I know what you're saying. There are lots of cool stories in the Old Testament. Stories about Moses leading the people out of Egypt. Stories about Moses parting the Red Sea. Stories about them receiving the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. Maybe you even have your own memorable story. But the story of Gideon is awesome because it shows the power of God. It shows the power of God for Gideon and for the Israelites. You see, it started out with a war. That in the Israelites' life, there was an enemy nation that came in and that was trying to take them over, the nation of Midian. It just happens to rhyme with Gideon, so it gets them confused sometimes. Gideon and Midian. But Gideon needed the Israelites to win. Gideon wanted the Israelites to win, and so he gathered as many troops as possible, like any war, even still today, to go face the Midianites. God had other plans, though, for the Israelites and Gideon. He told them, "You have too many troops. Cut them in half." And so Gideon cut those Israelites in half from 22,000 down to 10,000 men to go against the nation of Midian. The nation of Midian, who the Bible tells us numbered as many locusts as ever, and whose camels could no more be counted than the sand on the seashore. But God came to Midian again, said, "You still have too many men." So Gideon whittled down that army again to 300 men. 300 men who went into that camp of the Midianites with jars of clay over torches and with trumpets in their hand. And it was the power of God on display for those 300 men and all of the nation of Israel as he gave them the victory over those many, many Midianites. The power of God is on display again this morning when we look at the words of the Apostle Paul. It's on display for us because we might not be going up against the Midianites or an enemy nation in this physical world, but we're going up against sin. We're going up against our evil desires. We're going up against the devil. And Paul wanted those Corinthians and wants us to realize the power of God that is still on display in our lives. Listen to these words of Paul in 2 Corinthians 4, starting in verse 5. Paul says, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you." Paul wrote these words to the Corinthians because they were on his heart. Because like many other cities in his journeys, he had traveled to the city of Corinth and told them about the power of God. Told them about the good news of salvation in their lives. But those Corinthians stumbled. And so that's what prompted him to write the first letter to the Corinthians, because there was a list of things that were causing them to lose sight of the power of God in their lives. There's a number of things as you scan the pages of 1 Corinthians that you see were on Paul, that was on Paul's mind, and which he wanted those Corinthians to see. And here again, that same thing prompted him to write the letter to the second Corinthians as well, because the Corinthians were losing sight of the power of God. They weren't just preaching about Jesus Christ and the salvation and the good news and the promise of forgiveness of sins, but they were adding themselves into the equation. And so by adding to the equation, they were really subtracting from the power and the majesty in the glory of God. So he wanted them to see that, to see the relationship that they had to the gospel, to see where their place was in life, and to see the full effect of the ministry, the full effect and the full power of God and what Jesus Christ had done alone, and the glory and the honor and the salvation that came from him alone and never from those Corinthian people. Which is why Paul said, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord." And he goes on to say the relationship that they should have, as he had as well. "For we are your servants for Jesus' sake." That we're not somewhere right here with the gospel or with Jesus. We're not somewhere up here with it, but that we're subservient to it. That we do everything by all possible means to put forth the glory and the majesty and the power of God, and we never want to take anything away from it. And then he gives the reason why this is so special. Going way back to the creation account, when it was God who said, "Let there be light in that darkness. Let there be light in the darkness. Let there be light when the world was so dark that you couldn't even see the hand in front of your face." And God used his words. God used his power to create light. That in and of itself was enough evidence for those Corinthians, as Paul wrote, to have them realize the absolute power of God. And then he took it a step farther. And he said, that same God who is powerful is the one who created a light in your hearts. As he said, "It is God who made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." Paul wanted those Corinthian people to remember who they were. They were sinners. Their hearts were dark. They couldn't do any good as hard as they tried. Their hearts were full of sin. Yet the power of God was on display for those people, because it was God who created that light, who created faith in their hearts to know and to realize that they had salvation. It was the power of God on display in those people's lives. And it's the same thing Paul leads us to see and to realize as well this morning. Some days we don't realize it. Some days it's the last thing on our mind. Some days we don't want to look at what our hearts are by themselves. But they are dark with sin. Paul reminds us. Paul reminds us, as the world was just as dark in the beginning, so are our hearts just as dark. That at one time or another, your heart was just as dark too. Yet Paul also wants you to realize that it was the power, and it is the power of God, working in your heart to this very day, which has created that faith, which has given you a conviction and a promise to know that the salvation of your Jesus Christ is yours forever. To know that it was Jesus Christ who never looked at himself while he was in this world, but was always looking at you, always thinking about you from day one. Even better, who is sustaining that faith in your heart to this very day? When you treasure up what is in your heart, when you look and realize that the Holy Spirit is working faith and sustaining faith and growing your faith, to have that conviction, to have that promise, to be powerful in the face of sin, in the face of the devil, in the face of temptation. That is Jesus Christ who leads you to see his light every single day of your lives. And it's hard. It's hard. I'd like to tell you a story about how hard it is, even a simple story about myself and working the last couple summers. It's about this time every year that I'd go to work for my grandparents and my aunt and uncle. They'd call me up about this time in June and July and want me to come mow the lawn and trim the trees and pull weeds and roof the barn and different odds and ends. Sometimes I didn't think I was as qualified to do some of those things, but they called me up anyways and wanted me to come work. And they were my grandparents, they were my aunt and uncle, and I loved them. And sometimes they would pay me, and sometimes they wouldn't. But it was on that moment as I would drive up to their house, or as I would almost get done working, as I had the last layer of shingles to go on the top of their house, that it would hit me. Am I doing this because I have to? Because I have to show love to them? Or am I going to receive some kind of payment? That it's hard. That maybe you're the same way, that without your own knowledge, without your own realization, you know that your heart is full of sin, and that you're ignorant, and that you only think about yourself. Yet we hear the words of Paul this morning, that God has created a light in your heart, that he's given you faith, that he's assured that even in the face of sin, even when you're ignorant, he's given you salvation forever. Salvation, that means when you wake up someday after this world, you're going to see your Savior standing there with open arms, smiling back at you as you await eternity with him forever in heaven. And it's one thing to see the light on Sunday morning, but it's another thing to live with that light inside of you. It's hard. It's hard, as that illustration showed, that sometimes we don't see it. Sometimes we forget about it. And yet Paul leads us to see how we are just jars of clay, as he says. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. You and I are simply jars of clay. We're weak, we crumble, we shatter into a thousand pieces, and yet God is good. Because he's given a jar of clay, he's given you and me, feeble, unable people, a treasure inside of us. A treasure that we have our whole life to show how powerful God is, and to make us and to cause us to realize how every day we are that powerful because God has deposited his treasure, his promise in our lives, no matter what hits us day to day. No matter what happens, Paul goes on to say, no matter if we're hard-pressed on every side, we're not crushed. No matter if we're perplexed, we're not in despair. If we're persecuted, we're not abandoned. We might be struck down, but we're not destroyed. Your life is evidence of God's treasure in your life. It's evidence as you go through life, as he goes on to say, that the body of, as he goes on to say, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. You know that your bodies aren't growing younger. You're not getting more and more energy every day. And to hear a 25-year-old vicar say that in the pulpit on Sunday is maybe a little ironic to you as well. The past couple summers of me going to work, my grandma and grandpa, my aunts and uncles, I haven't always realized that. I've been able to put in 18-hour days in the sun, to swing that hammer, to pick up all those sticks, to go to sleep and to do it again and again and again and again. But the last couple years, I've woken up in the morning and my back's been a little stiffer. My knees have shaken a little more. I even look back in the mirror and realize I'm not the 18 or 19-year-old kid I used to be. Maybe that's hit you as well. You look back at that person in the mirror and you realize that you're not getting younger, that you don't have more energy. And that really, you come to grips that your body is dying. It's in that moment that the life of Christ is revealed even more. Because you know that this world isn't going to last forever. You know that your own body isn't going to last forever. But yet, you come to grips with that power of God he has given to you every single day of your lives, no matter how it hits you. If it hits a 25-year-old kid one day, or if it hits you 55, 65, 95 years old, God has given you a power unlike any other. Thinking back to the story of Gideon, I don't know if he ever would have thought that a jar of clay over a torch would have been the way to victory as he walked into that camp, 300 men against thousands and thousands of enemies. Maybe you haven't heard or didn't expect God to call you a jar of clay, but a jar of clay that he's given a glorious treasure and deposited something wonderful in forever. Define yourself by God's promise. Define yourself as a jar of clay with a glorious treasure, that you can stand up as a king or a queen, as someone high with authority and power, because Jesus Christ himself was that person. Powerful, reigning over death itself, and also has made you that powerful as you go about your daily life. Amen. And now the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.